This is ArtBeat, WMUK's weekly look at creativity and the arts in Southwest Michigan. I'm Zenta A-Stars. In parts of Africa where the disease is prevalent, they call it the lion's stare. River blindness is a pervasive disease spread by the black fly. It causes a loss of vision that results in a fixed, lifeless glare. Kalamazoo College graduate Bruce Benton led an international program to find a cure. He's the author of River Blindness, Taming the Lion's Stare. Bruce, tell us about your new book, beginning with What is River Blindness?
The book presents a complete story of the discovery of the disease and the effort to control it in Africa, going back as early as the late 1800s, but the effort to control it started in 1974 with an ambitious program that covered 11 countries in West Africa, where the disease was thought to be the worst in the world. And it was launched by the World Bank, actually Robert McNamara, who was president of the World Bank at the time. And he saw the disease firsthand in 1972 when he went to what was then Upper Volta, which is now Burkina Faso. And he was there to look at what could be done to counteract a severe drought, which had been ongoing since the late 1960s. And he saw the disease firsthand and realized that the disease itself was more of an impediment to long-term agricultural production in that part of West Africa than the drought. The drought would come and go, as droughts do, but this disease had been there for centuries and was getting worse over time, and unless something could be done to control the disease, there was little hope for development in that part of West Africa. While he was there, he met with some French scientists to learn all he could about the disease and how best to control it. They recommended that because the disease is a parasite that is transmitted by a black fly that travels up to 500 kilometers and crosses borders, he realized that the only way you could get some control over the disease, and there was no drug at the time, was to control the fly. And you had to do this on a regional basis rather than going country by country, because the flies traveled such long distances. And if you controlled it in, say, Ghana, it would come right back from Togo next door. So the only way to do this was a regional program, which he then immediately set up in collaboration with the World Health Organization, the United Nations Development Program, and the Food and Agricultural Organization in Rome. The idea was to not only control the disease, but then look at ways of promoting development in those areas where the disease was the worst, and begin to increase agricultural production once the disease was brought under control. And there were vast areas of West Africa that could not be inhabited and cultivated due to the severity of the disease, because people would inhabit those areas and then not long after would start going blind from the disease, and then would have to move, the whole village would have to then move away, far away from the rivers and the best land, into these higher areas where there was little water and the soil was not as good. And that was called the Onchocerciasis Control Program.
This is ArtBeat on WMUK. I'm Zenta A-Stars. Benton describes the disease of river blindness.
It's river blindness for the layman, because what happens is the fly lays its eggs on the banks of rivers. And so the disease is usually the worst near the rivers. But the technical term is onchocerciasis, and it's onchocerciasis because Onchocerca volvulus is the parasite that is in the body the fly transmits the parasite, develops into a worm about 2.5 feet long that lives in the body for 15 years and produces millions and millions of microscopic worms that fill up the body and cause this horrible, intense itching. And the end stage of the disease is they go into the eyes and die off in the eyes. And so you get tunnel vision, eventually permanent blindness. Actually, the worst part of the disease is probably the incessant, horrible itching, because it goes on 24 hours a day, and people can't sleep, they can't function, and many commit suicide because the itching is so intense and never ceases. In the middle 80s, the person who managed the program for the World Bank was moving on to another position, and they looked at my background and what I had been doing, particularly at the Department of Treasury, where I had been on international negotiating teams for trade and commodities, and decided that I had the kind of background that they needed to manage this effort. So they asked me if I would take it on, and I agreed to.
It strikes me that one of the unique aspects of the program, and something that I would think we can learn from now as we're going through this pandemic, you had this unique partnership, UN agencies, donors, NGOs, major pharmaceutical company, universities, African governments, communities themselves, and you got them all to work together to do this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was a remarkable partnership. There were more than 100 partners involved, and they all pulled in the same direction. It took some effort to make this happen, and I talk about this in the book to some extent, the reasons why this was possible. One is that we had a very clear objective that everybody agreed upon, and the strategy for achieving that objective was, again, clear. And it was consistent over time. So all the NGOs, the countries, the donors, the pharmaceutical companies, they all knew what we were aiming for. They all pulled in that same direction. And each of these partner groups, say the donors, had their own little forum where they would meet and then come together with a common position. The countries themselves would meet together in their own forum and come together on a common position, and the NGOs likewise. And then there would be a governing board where they would all come together, and we would come up with a common position in terms of the objective, the strategy, and the agreed upon financing from the donors. And that's how we did it, year after year after year. And it was a collaborative effort. One thing that I felt was important here was to make sure that everybody got credit for this success, everybody, and so that they would all want to fly their flag and say, yes, we like this program, and we'll continue to come up with money for it because this is a success and we're responsible for it.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Art Beat, our weekly look at the creative arts. I've been speaking with Bruce Benton, author of River Blindness, Taming the Lion's Stare. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Friday at this time for Art Beat. Thanks for listening.